The license plate numbers of cars crossing the U.S. borders with Canada and Mexico are being recorded and tracked by license plate reading cameras operated by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The documents recently obtained by the Electronic Privacy Information Center, or EPIC, in Washington, D.C., show that the Department of Homeland Security is also sharing that license plate data with a private business concern. And with more and more cameras being installed not just at the borders but throughout cities like New York, the amount of data on innocent civilians being collected, processed, and distributed is of increasing concern. Ginger McCall, director of EPIC's Open Government Project, says they filed FOIA requests with several government agencies.
What we got back was documents that indicate that the use of these machines is becoming more widespread. Customs and Border Protection specifically is putting these machines on both the northern borders and the southern borders of the country. And also that the sharing of this information is becoming quite widespread. Customs and Border Protection, in a memorandum of agreement that we received as part of this request, is sharing this data with other law enforcement agencies, specifically the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, as well as other outside third parties, so private corporations. In this case, the National Insurance Crime Bureau, which is a group of insurance companies that have gotten together and formed this nonprofit ostensibly to combat insurance fraud.
What are the rules on retention and dissemination of data, or are there any?
Well, generally, a government agency would be governed by the Privacy Act. And what we saw here was that there are some rules between the DEA and the CBP on data retention, but that allows for 2 years, and there are some exceptions to that rule. They say that there can be changes to that particular provision within their memorandum of understanding. As far as third parties go, it's much more difficult to know. They're not governed by the Privacy Act, so who knows how long they're retaining the data? Who knows who else that third party is sharing it with? We've seen indications online that, in fact, this National Insurance Crime Bureau pushed this information out even further, worked with what's called the NLETS database, which is national. It's national law enforcement, local law enforcement, some international agencies, as well as a group of companies within industry that work in conjunction with police and law enforcement. This is very private data, as we saw in the recent Supreme Court decision, U.S. v. Jones. Location data, it indicates very private things about your life, where you are, where you've been over the past 2, 3, 5, 10 years, what time you were there, exactly where you were. There's a lot that can be inferred or implied or even just directly seen about someone's life based on that sort of data.
The Jones decision involved a GPS tracker that was put on a car. A license plate reader is not quite the same as a GPS tracker. It doesn't involve the possibility of trespass to place a device on the car. Is this really an equivalent under privacy protections as far as the courts are concerned?
There's the possibility that it may be considered to be the equivalent. This is warrantless collection of data. In many ways, it's actually less targeted than the GPS tracker. The GPS tracker, at least you have someone who's a suspect and you're then putting that tracker on their car. Here, it's collecting data on everyone. If you read the Jones decision, it's very interesting because reading Scalia's language carefully, you see that he seems to indicate, yes, he's hanging his hat for now on this idea of a trespass, a physical trespass. But nowhere in his decision does he say that that's the only thing that he would base this on, that if that didn't exist, he wouldn't perhaps default to something else. And if you read the concurrence in that decision, there's a lot of great language about this very same kind of locational data and the way that it paints a portrait of someone's life and implicates these very real privacy interests in very private activities that people have. So it could be that that doctrine will play out similarly in the case of license plate readers.
The city of New York recently unveiled what they call the Domain Awareness System. It's a software and surveillance system that they developed along with Microsoft, which they intend to market and actually make a profit on. This involves thousands of cameras in New York City, and there are private corporations at the table actively engaged in the monitoring of those surveillance cameras. What is the potential here for invasion of privacy and the collection of retention of data on innocent people?
The potential, unless the courts step in or legislation steps in, is almost limitless. I mean, the cost of this technology is probably not that high. Already in cities like New York and Washington, D.C., you have a pretty large network of CCTVs. That's the little cameras that you see everywhere in the streets now. You know, we already have them here in D.C. and place at intersections around the city and just on random streets as speed cameras, but the cameras are already there. It wouldn't be that difficult to put the license plate reader technology to integrate that in there. So it's essentially limitless in that case. What we need to see here is some congressional oversight. Congress needs to step in, start asking questions about the data, what's being collected, why it's being collected, who it's being shared with, what protections are in place, perhaps to set some limits on this sort of collection of location data. Perhaps the court should step in as well. But there needs to be some protection here because cost-wise, it's probably not that large of a cost for this sort of technology to be rolled out quite extensively.
Is there any active consideration in Congress for legislation that would control or limit the use of this kind of data collection?
Well, there has been some interest in location privacy generally. We've seen some interest in legislation governing location privacy, specifically in regards to smartphones, which have tracking abilities now. And the way that that data is collected, the way that it's shared, again, it's a similar implication there. It triggers similar privacy problems.
Ginger McCall is the director of the Open Government Project of the Electronic Privacy Information Center.